Will this 2000 Mustang R, one of 300, bring all the money on BAT, or will it break the internet? The results will surprise you. Watch now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Bid Nerd, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. My name is John Polnick, coming to you from the Rami Studio in downtown Las Vegas in the Container Park, along with my partner Michael Deeb in the yet-to-be-named studio in San Francisco. How you doing, Michael Deeb?
Awesome.
You look a it's one word. I love it. Just a word. Well, it's a good thing you're being conservative with your blatherings, because today we have a special guest, a guy who actually knows what he's talking about, a guy who can talk about cars for once, someone who is a true expert, Lucky Lopez. Look at that. He's in the house.
Welcome, Lucky.
How's it going, John? Thank you so much for having me. Can't wait to get this bid totally wrong and look like a fool on YouTube.
Well, hey, we do that every day, so welcome to the party, pal. Speaking of folks who are part of the party, we got to give a huge shout out to the Nerd Herd who is doing it. Thank you so much for those of you who have been subscribing, liking, hitting the notification buttons, doing all those things, you guys. We love you. We've got a big pile of stickers that I keep talking about getting out there. We got shirts coming, and we got all kinds of fun swag that we're going to get out to you guys. But you guys have been doing a great job sharing the videos, and that has been really growing the channel. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, a big shout out to our good friends at Godin Classic of Las Vegas. They support the Nerd Herd. If you need parts for your classic Porsche, give them a call. Let them know. Make sure that they heard about it or you heard about it on the Bid Nerds. All right. Lucky Lopez is a big deal, and he's hanging out with us. He's been sitting around kind of letting us blather on about other stupid stuff. But Lucky, you have a cool channel. Tell us quickly about that channel and why, if someone isn't a subscriber already, other than they're an idiot, they should be. What's going on over at Lucky Lopez?
My channel is basically just teaching people about the automotive industry, whether you want to start flipping cars, becoming a dealer, opening up a rental car company, if you want to start an auto repair shop, customizing shop, everything kind of like that. But just like you, gentlemen, I am a true automotive enthusiast. We love to talk shit about cars and totally sometimes get it wrong. So I think that's what makes probably this channel and other channels like this start to grow so quickly. So if you can, make sure you subscribe to my stuff. Make sure you subscribe to Bids and Nerds, and let's get into it.
All right. Welcome to the Nerd Nation. All right. You know, before we get to today's most interesting car, because you are an expert, Lucky, and you have helped people sell so many cars and start their dealerships and that sort of thing, do you ever sell cars on Bring a Trailer, Cars and Bids? Have you had much experience with that? Is that something that you shy away from? Tell, what about that?
I've actually sold a lot of cars through various auctions. I did do one of my personal cars, a smart car, which we can go over if you guys want, on Cars and Bids. I was absolutely blown away with what I got for it, so I think you guys will be pleasantly surprised. But I sold them from there, and you're going to laugh. Every car that I put on Bring a Trailer, they turned me down.
Really?
So I don't know why. I had quality photos, great cars. I had some classic Mustangs. I had some Camaros. I even had a few Mercedes. They said no.
How long ago was that?
Yeah, was that before or after Hearst Media bought the company?
It was in 2021.
Okay. All right. Yeah, boy, things have changed a lot over there. They've hoarded themselves out. They'll accept almost anything if it's an enthusiast car. So it'd be interesting to see what happens the next time you try, if you do. Your smart car, I definitely want to talk about. Your smart car was like a rally smart car. We're not going to get into it in this particular episode, but we're going to do a special episode on that. We actually, on one of our sister channels, The Rami Show, have a special episode about smart cars that you need to see. And maybe what we need to do is do a reaction video with Lucky Lopez and our smart car video mashup, right?
Oh, I totally. I love those things. I currently bought one right now that I'm actually putting a turbo on it. So you guys are actually the first place I'll talk about it. But yeah, we bought an $1,100 smart car. We put a $6,500 turbo on it. And after this, we're going to lift it and see what we can do. We're actually going to take it to the Mint 400 here in Vegas.
Oh, sick.
And we're going to do some rally cross and take it on some jumps. Because the last one, the only reason I got rid of it is I couldn't go up a hill. Yeah, I remember going on the Mint 400, and they tried to make me go over this dune. And they had this whole film crew. They're on the other side of this mountain. They're like, just send it. And I couldn't go. I was going like 5 miles an hour. I had no balls. I just like creeped over like 5 miles an hour and just rolled down. It was so anticlimactic. And so I embarrassed myself.
Oh, my God.
So I said, next time, if I build another one, it's going to be with the turbo. It's going to have the horsepower. And because I think they only got like 68 horsepower stock. So it's hilarious. So this one should be pumping about 180.
I feel like Ghostbusters, man. I feel like this is Ghostbusters where we got to get the gatekeeper together with the keymaster. You got to meet our friend Rami. And speaking of jumping cars, all right, that's a whole other conversation. Let's get to today's most interesting car. And today's car is a pretty interesting car. It's not my cup of tea, but Michael Deeb, send it.
All right, John. What we're looking at is this super rare 2000 Ford Mustang Cobra R. The real deal. This is one of 300 examples produced just for that one model year, and it is completely different than any other Mustang that was made at that same time. Power is derived from a 5.4 liter V8 that is normally aspirated, mounted to a Tremec 6-speed manual transmission and running through a limited slip differential. The car has beautiful 18-inch wheels, Eibach springs, Bilstein dampers, side exit exhaust. It's a Borla exhaust with an X, with like an X pipe, and then it exits out the side. Everything about this car is super, super cool. It was designed for the Mustang to go road racing, and they only built 300 of them. They've been collector items ever since. I have yet to see one of these things with like 100,000 miles on it or even 60,000 miles on it. Most of these cars are just kept in a garage, wiped with a diaper, and then brought out for sale so that somebody can make a few bucks on it. This one is super low miles. It only has 1,900 miles and is offered out of Santa Anita, California. I'm not sure if I mentioned, but it is on Bring a Trailer, which is the right platform. This car just looks to be in really nice condition. The front lower spoiler is missing in the photos. I'm not sure where it is. I saw where they said it was not with the car, but I don't know if it's included in the sale or not. I'm sure you could still go down to the Ford dealership and get one. But that seems to be the only flaw I see from the photos, and it looks to be like a really nice example. I've never driven one, JP, but I used to own a 2001 Mustang Bullitt. And when I saw this car, it was like one of those things where I wish I could put all the parts that were on this car that made it special onto my Bullitt to make my Bullitt drive better. But this car, I'm sure they've taken all the slack out of it. The suspension, the handling, the motor, the limited slip differential, the way the gearbox shifts. It's a short throw shifter. It's got racing seats, the cloth, and all this stuff. I mean, just one of those really cool limited edition driving cars that have always traded for more money than they were worth originally. So Lucky, I send it over to you. Any experience, have you ever bought and sold one of these since you've been in the business for a while, or have you ever had the opportunity to drive the real 2000 Cobra R with the 5.4?
I was fortunate at a Ford event to drive one of these. It wasn't an actual street car, it was one of their race cars, just absolutely amazing piece of machinery. I've seen a few of these things go at Mecham Auto Auctions as well as Barrett-Jackson. And I still think that they're probably going to be one of the fastest climbing cars coming up here, because I believe the more analog the car is, the more, I guess, desirable it's going to be. And especially since a lot of the baby boomers are coming out of the car collecting, a lot of the young people are going to be coming in. And to them, a Mustang is a classic car. So I think these ones are on the rise.
Great take. I like what he said, John, how the more analog a car is, the more desirable it will be in the future. And we've seen that just with gated manuals or manual transmissions and three-pedal cars. But that take really encapsulates a lot more than just the gearbox. Great take, Lucky. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. Being a classic Porsche guy, I mean, how many times have we talked about how, you know, stuff like this, like an old Viper of the same era or whatever, is much more like a classic Porsche than any new Porsche. You can't go to a Porsche dealership and say, I'd like a manual whatever, fill in the blank 911 Boxer or whatever. They're not going to have it. Not only are they not going to have cars at all, but if they do, it's going to have a PDK. You can go down to the Ford dealership and get a manual Mustang right now. That's the thing. The American car brands are making cars that are more old Porsche-like than Porsche. But that being said, you know, you mentioned the boomers, they're lucky. My problem with this car isn't so much the car, it's really the fact that so many of these were bought by boomers when they were a little younger before they're hitting that retirement mode or before they're dying, frankly. So how many of these are sitting in a garage somewhere with 14 miles on them because, you know, some aging boomer bought one and didn't drive it, you know, wiped it down with his diaper, set it in the garage, and now he's, you know, probably going to go, and some kids are going to inherit this thing, and they're not going to want it. You know, most people, the Gen Xers are just going to be like, well, auction it off.
I don't know, because I know a lot of the video games I used to play when I was a kid, this was one of the top racing cars. When we used to race against some of the McLarens and Ferraris, the 355 and this car were always going up against each other. It was the 360 challenge and the 355 challenge and the Cobra R.
Yep.
And the Cobra R would blow it out of the water every time we did like drive straights or anything else. We just lost it on the turns. But I think that it's kind of an icon when it comes to that. Like when I talk to the younger generation, people see the wing. They're so much more relatable with that. Where I've noticed that like a lot of my older consumers, they like the Mustang. They know the brand and the whole heritage. But it doesn't hit them the same way I think a lot of these kids were gaming. So if you get a chance to ask some younger people just for fun, like, hey, what do you think of the Cobra R, and show them that iconic wing, most of them will trigger back to their days of playing this game in a video game, or this car in a video game.
So this car actually has some millennial nostalgia is what you're saying. That's crazy. All right. I agree with that. That's a good take. All right. Deeb, what do you think what's going to happen with this auction? What's going on?
So John, our car closes about 4 days from now, so it's still got some time, but it's already up to $81,000 on a whopping, I think it's not too many, but a whopping, where are my notes? Two bids. So at two bids, it's already up to 81,000. I think because this car's got under 2,500 miles, under 5,000 miles, that it's easily going to break 100,000. The question is, where is it going to fall above $100,000? I think if it were under 1,000 miles, it would be over $130,000. And sky could be the limit. This could be the one that breaks 150 or whatever. But at 1,900 miles, it does. And the fact that they, for some inexplicable reason, don't have the lower spoiler on this car, I think that's just going to hold it back from going totally crazy. So I'm going to come in at $119,000 and say that's where it sells at. I do believe that at 119 it'll sell, but Lord knows with BAT these days where they're setting their reserves. So Lucky Lopez, it seems like you're familiar with the car. What do you think? Are you over or under my $119,000? Tell me I'm crazy.
I'm actually over. I think it's going to go for $127,000. I think it's going to be a younger guy that has like saw this when he graduated from high school, is now just starting to make money. Because the same thing, like this was the car for me coming out of high school, like the Cobra R. I remember getting Motor Trend magazines, and back when we still bought magazines, like it was super exciting. So, you know, if I had the extra capital and I was that nuts, I would totally buy it. But I think for $127,000 to have something that rare and that unique, I mean, you can't touch really anything that close anymore. Like, we were looking at buying a Ferrari 430 manual, and those things are all the way up in the $180,000 to $200,000 range. Even if you convert one with the stock one, you're still like $150,000. This is almost the exact same thing, but I think this will have a much higher curve as all the EVs come out. So I'm guessing about $127,000.
Okay, I got a quick question for you. Lucky, did you save all your old car magazines?
Actually, I did. I'm one of the few weird people. I collected comics and I collected this. While my friends were playing with themselves and doing Pokemon, I actually collected car magazines. So this was my thing. So I have that.
I have boxes and boxes of all my old car magazines. And they're ironically, I'm home in San Francisco, but they're still in storage in a warehouse in Boulder City by the Hoover Dam.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, I guess that means it's my turn. You guys are freaking me out with some really weird imagery, Pokemon and playing with... Oh, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to stick with the Furbies. Okay, I don't know. This car doesn't do it for me. I don't have a nostalgia thing on it, so I'm not excited about it at all. To me, it looks like a $5,000 car, because how many of these are there that look basically the same, only without the wing? Mustangs just go right over my head. I love driving them, though. Every time I get behind the wheel of one, and I'm like, turning my nose up on Mustangs, and then I get behind the wheel, and it's like, what is it? John Alcantara, a good friend, has that Boss 302.
Laguna Seca,
That's, you know, the couple body styles newer, or maybe one, I don't know. You know, that car is only, you could get one of those for 35 grand and it's going to basically perform the same. So to me, it's hard to say that this car is going to find the money, but Lucky's right. It's not about me. It's about that millennial that has that nostalgia. Yeah. That he sees this thing. He's like, oh my God, I have to have that thing. And that's always what drives the value, or rather the results of cars like this, particularly in auctions. Because if somebody gets frothy, if somebody has that red mist and they just have to have it, who knows what the number is going to be. So Lucky, you're at 127. I'm going to park it. I'm going to just go so chicken shit. I'm going to go 125 right under you and split the difference between the two of you guys and see what happens. Yeah, that's me, whatever. Sky is falling. All right, so now is the time for you guys to lock your bid in the comments below. Put the timestamp next to it. Ross and Andrew and a bunch of our super nerd herd folks, they always play it right. They put their money where their mouth. Can you believe that, Lucky? Some of our nerd herd, they play this game, right? So they'll go ahead and put their bid in right now. They're typing it in right now, but they timestamp it. So they can't cheat, because technically you could skip ahead in this video and see what actually happens and be like, oh, but now they timestamp it. So I guess you could cheat that way too, but they're good, solid folks, right? I mean, what good is that?
That's the best thing, is just to show your IQ. And same thing, even though we're using logic, we're using rational things. That's why, you know, each one of us tell a story on why we're given our numbers. And at the end of the day, none of this shit's going to make sense, because somebody's going to get excited, adrenaline's going to get a pumping, they're going to buy it. So if you guys can put what you guys think it's going to be in the comment section below, and like you said, timestamp it, I think it'll start to show people how crazy and how out of control some of these auctions can get.
Awesome. All right, let's find out. Let's fire up the future machine. We got the flux capacitor, and we're going to see what happens with this Mustang right after this. Hey, guys, I got to tell you about our friends Gaudin Porsche of Las Vegas and Gaudin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've got to call our friend Steve at Gaudin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Gaudin Porsche of Las Vegas. Yep, bid nerds are still here. We are back in business. Hello, everyone. Nerd herds, thanks for hanging out. Thanks again to Lucky Lopez for hanging out with us on the first half of the show. We are
thanks, Lucky.
Back, nerd herd. We still need some, you know, pointer. What do we name the studio here? Look at the deep studio. We're getting some good ideas. Vroom, the fist room,
the bid
which is
cave.
Weird. Bid cave's good. Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's a little warmer in there. You're not in a big puffy jacket. Is it warming up in San Francisco a little bit?
Little tiny bit. Yeah. It's like 63 degrees in here today.
All right. Wow. That's balmy for San Francisco. All right. Well, let's get back to it.
No white
beater. What happened with this dumbass Mustang? I mean, I'm sitting here, we're restarting the show. It's been, you know, we're the future. Yeah. Usually our future gap is just, you know, a few days, but we went a whole week because Deeb had to go and be fancy and go to a racetrack because he won the thing at Luftkult.
Yeah.
Who wins Thank things? You. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe that? All the nice things I did for everybody coming to town, and then Pirelli rewards me. Like, okay, cool. Little karma.
Nice. That's Pharmacia. All great, but then it all goes to hell when we have to look at this stupid car. If I recall, Lucky liked this car, right? This was like a thing.
Yeah.
That you would do.
I so like this car too, but Lucky was the high bidder, right? So, John, what we're talking about is a 1900 mile example of the 2000 Ford Mustang Cobra R. Just to remind everybody, they only made 300 of these things for the United States. So, by the numbers, John, it is a rare car. I don't know that makes it valuable, but they've gone up in value. These are now six-figure cars, and this one has low mileage. So here's the rub, JP. While we were reviewing the car, I couldn't find any evidence that the guy had the lower front splitter. And this guy took photographs of his six-figure Mustang without the splitter on there, and then no mention as to whether or not the splitter was included, no photograph of the splitter off the car. It's a car missing this gorgeous, big, deep, aggressive front splitter. And so, JP, I think he paid for it. So despite the fact that I said I thought this car would sell for $119,000, You, who didn't like it, came in over me at $125,000, and Lucky Lopez was the high bidder at $127,000. So our car failed to sell at $83,000 on just five bids, and the very first comment after it closed was, no splitter, no sale. So I can't understand what do these crypto bros think, like, that, like, oh, dude, this is a $100,000 car. What goes through people's brains that they everybody thinks they're a car guy because they have something expensive in the garage, but they don't actually understand how to speak to car people. This is just a prime example of a fool thinking he was going to get his money without whatever. And I'm the fool because I bid $119,000 on it thinking that, I don't know, I think I thought the splitter was included, but it truly wasn't. And so anyways, failure to launch, not failure to sell, failure to launch. This car never got off the ground. It stalled at 83 grand. I think that arguably leaving $50,000 on the table because he didn't do his homework. Like, what the come on, man. Like, I want to just go through the camera and just, like, strangle somebody sometimes, JP. This crap drives me nuts.
I think the car is just worthless, and I think that that everyone's just using this stupid, splitter thing as the crutch or so. Oh yeah, it was a splitter. Now, there's just nobody wants this thing. I mean, the fact that it even got up to $85,000 is crazy, or 83 or whatever. I mean, look, that's what it's worth. The really cool, super rare, actually rare stuff. Things that look rare are still kind of holding their values, but stuff like this that looks like a $3,000 car that you can get on Craigslist, yeah, it's faster. Yeah, it has a wing. Whoopity effing do. No one's gonna look twice at this thing. I mean, you're ripping on crypto bros. You got to rip on the Mustang bros that made this thing. This should be a $25,000 car. Okay, this is a $25,000 piece of crap car. I don't care that it has a wing on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please forgive my friend JP. He's obviously the temperature in Clark County has risen, and he's got heat stroke. The last one of these, John, right before this car ran on BAT, one just sold with similarly low miles at Mecum for $130,000. So me and you and Lucky at 119, 125, and 127, our numbers were accurate for what this car is worth. This guy failed to achieve it because he didn't do a good job bringing the car to market. All of your arguments about this being an overpriced Fox Body Mustang are valid. Well, whatever, Fox Body. It's still got a live rear axle, and it's garbage. Well, this one has independent, but these cars do bring the money. They're one of 300, and those motors are probably hand-built at 5.4.
I would love to drive one. It's one of
it is.
It's no, it's not. I know that it says it's okay. That's like, look, it's not one of 300. It's one of, like, tens of thousands. This one just has to happen to have a couple of things that are different. I'm so sick of Mustang bros saying my car is so rare. It's like, no, it's not. You can go anywhere and see a car that looks exactly like this. Any parking lot has 15 cars that look exactly like this thing, even if it doesn't have the same engine under the hood or something like, or whatever the stupid bits are. These cars are going to plummet. The market is going to correct in some ways. I'm not saying it's going to crash. Even Patootie, producer Patootie, agrees with me. She's like, that's garbage. Right, Toots? It's just not a rare car. Look, how many times have you, like, I know that, like, with 911s, like a GT2 RS is a genuinely rare car, but one of the complaints on it, one of the things that people don't like about a GT2 RS is that it looks like a regular 991.2 base GT3. In a lot of ways. Not even a GT3, yeah. Just a regular, like, normies can't tell the difference between a base 991 and a GT2 RS. They know, okay, that one's got, maybe side by side they could see that one has some wings and stuff like that. They're obviously drastically different cars, but if you're in that $300,000 or $400,000 range, a lot of people are going, I'm getting a Lambo, because everyone knows that that's a goddamn Lambo. But at least a base 911 is still worth something, right? You know, even if someone mistakes a GT2 for a regular 911, well, it's still a 911. You mistake this stupid Mustang for a less stupid Mustang?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was kidding. Tootie and I are so ticked off about it. Look, I'm happy that people are paying this kind of money for these cars because they deserve to lose their money. Look, this is okay. Did the splitter hurt the guy? Yeah. But it probably hurt him for like $5,000 or maybe $10,000. But I think that's it. I think these cars are done. You're not going to see another one go for much more. You can talk about what happened, you know, on the last auction. But yeah, let's talk about a whole bunch of auctions that happened, you know, weeks, months ago, and see the difference now. Mustangs are garbage. You suck if you want this car.
See, now you threw down the gauntlet, so we're definitely covering another one in the future. So we'll come back to the Mustang Cobra R of 2000. AKA JP's neighbor's Mustang up on Jack's in the front yard, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, what do you think of the results of this? Was this thing stolen? Did the guy leave tens of thousands of dollars on the table, like my partner says? Or are Mustang R's just R stupid? dumb car. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.